Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 8 there in just a moment. Choir, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you. I know you work hard every week to prepare. I've been in the ministry long enough to realize that how much work it is to be prepared for that. I used to be one of those. I used to lead music. I used to be a minister of music. So I know how much work it takes to do that, and I appreciate your committedness to that. Unfortunately, in this day and age, the choir is a dying breed. A lot of younger churches just have praise groups, and I don't have any problem with that. That's what they do, but it's nice to have folks who are committed to being there and being a part of that. Very appreciated. The first Sunday this month, we talked about our need to reach in and to care for one another as God expects us to care for one another. Paul taught us by way of example in Philippians to pray for one another and to encourage one another. God has begun a work in us that he will continue doing. He will continue working out in us, but he wants us to minister to one another and to care for one another. And that's a two-way street. First of all, we have to be willing to be ministered to be able to be ministered to. And then we have to be willing to minister to others. So God wants us to be a part of that, to care about one another in the body of Christ. If you weren't able to be here the first Sunday of the month, which that was the fourth, I would encourage you to get a CD copy of that sermon or listen to it on our website, which, by the way, I want to first of all thank Alan Schultz for very, very graciously taking care of our website. You may not be aware of this, but he does that as his ministry to this church. He doesn't charge his church a dime for that website. But I have some exciting news for you. This evening, we're going to launch a brand new website. It is going to be really, really neat. I mean, it looks great. I love the template for it. It looks really awesome. So late tonight or tomorrow, you check it out. PleasantGroveBC.com. PleasantGroveBC.com. Check it out. I promise you, it's going to look really good. I'm excited about it. So don't be afraid to talk that up with people you know, people that are looking for a church. Alan, I can tell you personally, I've had several people tell me they found us on the internet. Whenever I talk with people before the service, I found your church on the internet. I had one lady tell me, I recognize your picture from the internet. So that was on a different website, but that's a... I'm kidding. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the need to reach out and how reaching out requires us to be present, to be obedient, to be extravagant. Jesus set the example for us to follow, and we should want to represent God well and realize that ministry can't stop inside the walls of the church if we're going to accomplish the Great Commission in our community. That is the mission of the church, but it will only be our mission as a church if we'll walk with Christ. We need to have a heart for our community, and we need to ask God to help us to be creative in reaching out and touching the lives of those around us. That sermon, by the way, is also on our website, so I hope if you didn't get a chance to hear those, you'll check those out. But this week, we need to turn our attention to the world beyond our community. We can't think that it's enough to carry the gospel into Gilmer County. We have to realize that God wants us to go beyond, carrying the gospel to our state, to our nation, and literally to the ends of the earth. This morning, we're going to look at one simple verse that gives us the command to go with the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at what we can learn from Luke in the book of Acts about what God wants from us. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is truth. And God, help us to realize that this text, these words spoken to the disciples, weren't just meant for them, they're meant for us as well. God, help us to understand that you want to fill us, you want to empower us, you want to send us to go and reach the ends of the earth. So God, help us to be obedient this morning. Help us to hear from you, to apply your word. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see that if we are to reach beyond, there are some things that we need to know. And to reach beyond, we need to know, first of all, what we need We need power. It's overwhelming to simply ponder the reality that in our community, we need to reach over 28,000 people here in Gilmer County. Roughly 28,355 is the estimation from 2013. I want to encourage you to be here tonight, because I'm going to share tonight. You can look there in the bulletin the title of my sermon, so to speak, tonight, Understanding Who We Are in the Community We Minister To. I'm going to share with you some facts about our community, some facts about us that we just need to acknowledge, that we just need to be aware of, and I can promise you, Doug, will you affirm this? They're going to be shocked by some of the things that I'll share with them. Just be here. If you can be here tonight, be here. I promise you, you'll be glad you were. When we think about reaching over 28,000 people, that's a daunting task in and of itself, but so much more so when we think about the reality that our Savior has challenged us to literally go to the ends of the earth. Roughly the population of the world, and this is just a guesstimation, because obviously we can't count every head everywhere, but roughly the population of the world is 7 billion. And yet God has given us the task to go and reach the entire world with His good news. But I want to say to you, not only does God know every hair on every head in Gilmer County, He knows every hair on every head in China, in India, in Australia, in Germany, in Brazil, or wherever else you want to talk about on the globe. He knows every single hair on every head. So given the magnitude of the task of taking the gospel to every corner of the world, we have to realize that we need God's power. However, in Acts 1:8, Jesus promises us that we will receive His power. Now let me ask you this question. This is not rhetorical, okay? I want to be clear. This is not a rhetorical question. I am expecting you in a Baptist church, I know, to respond to this question. Can we trust God's promises? How often? Always, 100% of the time. We can count on His promises. We can depend on the fact that He will do what He says that He's going to do. I'm grateful for our forefathers in the Southern Baptist Convention who had the foresight to establish the cooperative program in 1925 and began working together to do missions to reach out, whether little church or medium-sized church or large church, all giving to the cooperative program so that missionaries could go all over the world and not have to worry about the fact that they need income, that God would take care of them, and God has used that. I'm grateful for the fact that right now about 73% of what's given to the cooperative program goes for missions, about 22% to North American missions, about 51% to international missions. So 73% of what's given to the cooperative program does that. Another 22% goes to help with the cost of our seminaries. When I went to seminary back in the dark ages, when I went to seminary back in the early 90s, because of churches like Pleasant Grove Baptist who were giving to the cooperative program then, my master's degree, my seminary degree cost less and helped me prepare to be able to serve you today. So some of you who were here at that time, and if you were in another Baptist church somewhere else who's giving a cooperative program, yes, you helped pay for my education. I hope you feel okay about that. I think it's a good thing, but right now you're helping. Six Southern Baptist seminaries continue to educate others. So that means that with the 73% that we're giving to missions plus the 22%, 95% of the cooperative program dollars are either sending people to the mission field or preparing them for the mission field. That's a wonderful thing that we're able to participate in because of the foresight of those who are willing to be obedient to God. We can't do things without God's power, and God has empowered us as a convention to be able to do that. I have two chainsaws. I have to confess, when I lived in Marietta, we lived in a subdivision, and if you've been in the Atlanta area at all, you know that if it's a big lot if you have over a half acre, okay, because not many lots, even big homes, sit on little lots in the Atlanta area, and we were actually on a lot that was about two-thirds of an acre. Yeah, huge, not really. But I didn't need much of a chainsaw to do what I needed to do in that yard, so I had a, guys, please don't take my man card away. I had an electric chainsaw. Now remember, I said I have two chainsaws, so don't be too quick. But it was all I needed for that. I mean, I might have to trim up the crepe myrtle or take a limb off a tree. And I've always had a rule about limbs in my yard on trees. If I could not walk under it or ride under it with the lawnmower, it was coming off. Okay, I don't like low limbs. I want to be able to do what I need to do to cut the grass, handle the yard without those limbs hitting me in the head. So that was what I had that chainsaw for. Now, when we moved to Lincolnton, we had some woods behind our house, and I wanted to be able to thin out the woods some behind the house, so I got a real chainsaw. Yeah, that's right. A real chainsaw, gas engine chainsaw. I don't remember how many inches the blade is, 20, 21 inches, something like that. But, you know, you put the mix in it, and then you fire it up, and then you rev it up, and it smells like a chainsaw. And you can't help but to feel masculine. Now, I got to be honest, when you plug that other chainsaw in, you feel a little bit feminine. I don't mean that in a bad way, okay? I'm not, but you just do, because wee, wee, as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's just a difference. But there's no question that bigger chainsaw has more power to handle those bigger jobs. I want to say to you, when it comes to doing things for the kingdom of God, we're not even an electric chainsaw compared to God. God can do so much more than we can do on our own. And God has a job for us that's so big that we can't do it without His power. Through His power, we can accomplish much, but we must be willing to let Him fill us with His power. The good news for us is that He wants to, and He promises to, right here in Acts 1:8. You may feel like you don't have much power, that you don't have much to offer God, but if you're willing to offer Him your life, He will give you power, and you will do far more than you thought you could do. You see, God gives us the power to impact eternity. We just need to have the wisdom to seek Him for that power. To get His power, you have to be in His Word. You have to read and study God's Word. It's amazing how many times simply knowing His Word and standing on His promises can empower us to go on when we didn't think we had the strength. You also gain power through prayer and simply asking God to fill you with His power. Don't try to live the Christian life on your own, because God never intended for you to. You will fail if you don't turn to Him. However, when you let Him fill you with His power, you will see lives changed for eternity. So we see that what we need is we need power. Secondly, to reach beyond, we need to know who we need. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, I know, I get it, we're Baptists. We're afraid to have too much of the Holy Spirit. People might think we're charismatic. Wouldn't want to be confused that way, would we? He's kidding, folks, I assure you. I know him. Oh, that we would be confused with being too excited about Jesus. I pray that our relationship with Him would be so real and so sincere that people couldn't help but to see the power of God working in our lives. But to have that power from God to be able to accomplish what it is that He wants us to accomplish, we need to have the Holy Spirit fill us. Now, I understand the context of Acts 1:8. This was before the day of Pentecost, and this was before the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. So I want us to take a look just a few verses ahead in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. We know that there was only one day of Pentecost. There was this one time when God fell in this mighty way, when He manifested Himself through the Holy Spirit in this way. But I want to say to you, God, the Holy Spirit, still fills us and still empowers us. It is absolutely true that you receive the Holy Spirit when you place your faith in Christ, when you ask His forgiveness and invite God into your life. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you, but did you realize that He will only fill as much of your life as you give Him room to fill? I want to make sure you get me there. He will only fill as much of your life as you give Him room to fill. You see, He won't move in where you don't move out. When you allow sin to build up in your life, any sin, you take away room for the Holy Spirit to have freedom in your life. You take away room for the Holy Spirit to fill up your life. And when you allow sin to continue to build up and continue to fester in your life and allow it to go unconfessed, you continue to move the Holy Spirit out until the point where you have almost no presence of the Holy Spirit in your life at all. He wants to fill your life, but you must be emptied of that sin. You must confess that sin. That's why John told us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wasn't writing that to lost people. He was writing that to believers. We need to confess our sin. We need to ask God's forgiveness so that he might fill us, so that he might give us the power that we need. The problem is that we want to keep sin in our lives. Now, we may not consciously say that, but we operate that way. I know Kent shared it in Sunday school this morning from James chapter 4, verse 17. For him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. In other words, there are things that we know God wants us to do that we're not doing, and that's sin. That sin in our life is keeping us from experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit filling us up. It is a sin not to pray. It is a sin not to study God's Word. There are also other things that we know we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, that we should be asking God's forgiveness for, and we should be asking for the power to avoid. God can give us that strength. When I was pastoring Marietta at Sewell Mill Baptist, it was a church similar in size to this, a good bit smaller in worship, but about the same size in Sunday school, similar. But we had a big field and we had a lot of grass to cut, not too different really from here. The way we had decided to accomplish that, we had a tractor with a bush hog, and we agreed that the custodian would cut the biggest part of that. And then the finer cutting, the stuff that needed more detail around the church, we decided we'd kind of do that on a volunteer basis. So we had a sign-up list, and everybody signed up and took, I say everybody, those who were willing signed up to take their turn, and I was one of those who signed up to take my turn. Well, as we were doing that, the mower we were using got to where it was rough, so one of the deacons recommended that we get this somewhat commercial-grade walk-behind mower. Now, I have a self-propelled mower, but I don't have a commercial-grade walk-behind mower. They're heavier and a little bigger duty mower. You know, typically a self-propelled you might have would be 20 or 21-inch mower. Well, I believe this one was a 27-inch mower. And it, unlike my self-propelled, when I grab a hold of it, it's got one speed. If I pull it down a little bit or if I pull it down all the way, it's got one speed. This one basically had a throttle on it. So depending on how much you pulled on the throttle, it would go faster or slower. So if you wanted to go really fast and almost jog behind it, you could run it wide open. So it took me a little while to get used to using that and to how to manage it around the church and to do those things. Well, one day I was taking my turn going out to cut the grass, and I went out to the shed where we kept the lawnmower, got out to the shed, saw the gas can there, opened up the gas and poured the gas in and took it and got it started and went around and got started cutting and hadn't been cutting for very long, and all of a sudden this mower that couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 or 4 months old at the most starts sputtering and blowing black smoke. And I'm like, what in the world? I can't believe this thing is messing up. And being the small engine expert that I am, I stood there and stared at it. What's wrong? I did what, as Felton knows, I'm not a small engine expert. I did what I knew to do, so I went over and opened up the gas, and I realized it didn't smell like gas. And I began to smell it a little bit more and realized it was diesel. What had happened is the gas can that was sitting beside the lawnmower was not gas. It was diesel. Our tractor ran on diesel. The custodian had set the gas can beside the gas lawnmower, so I assumed it was gas, and I put diesel in that gas mower. Now, I want to say to you, that gas mower will not run on diesel. It's not designed to do that. Thankfully, I didn't let it run very long as soon as it started sputtering, and we were able to get it running again pretty quickly. You were not designed to run on sin. God designed you to run on His power, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and your life will always sputter and smoke and fume and never run smooth when you're trying to run on the wrong stuff. God wants to fill you. He wants to empower you. He wants you to know His presence in your life, but you've got to be willing to confess the other stuff to get it out of your life. So I ask you this morning, what is it that you're clinging to that's keeping you from God? Is it pride of one sort or another? Is it pleasure that you can't let go of? Is it apathy that's keeping you from God? Is it fear that's keeping you from surrendering to His will? Is it addiction of one form or another that's keeping you from God? I want to say to you, the Word of God makes it very clear that sin will make you happy for a season, but it will find you out. And it does come at a cost. It's been said so many times, but sin will keep you, let's see, sin costs you more than you want to pay. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. You do not want to mess around with sin. Sin will kill you. But God wants you to have His presence. Confess that sin and get it out of your life and let God fill you with the power of His presence. So to reach beyond, we need to know what we need, that's power, who we need, the Holy Spirit. Then third, how we get it, through prayer. I want you to look ahead in chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, it says this, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away." Now I remind you, this is after Acts 1:8. This is before the day of Pentecost. Then in 13, "When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son." "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Now, like we've already said, the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, but I want you to see something that's incredibly important to what took place on the day of Pentecost. They were praying before the day of Pentecost happened. We cannot have the power of God. We will not know the will of God, and we will not experience His work as a church, as individual believers, without prayer. Prayer is not the last resort. It is the first necessity. It is what we need every day, every moment of our lives. We take prayer lightly, and unfortunately, we poorly use it, making it more of a list of demands from God rather than a desire to know God. I would encourage each of us to occasionally either type out or write out our prayers and examine them honestly before God and say, "God, is this a list of requests? Is this a list of, God, I'd like to have this, this, and this. Would you please do this for me?" Or is it really a conversation with the Holy God saying, "God, I want to know you. I want to know you more than anything. God, you know my needs. I trust you to provide my needs. But God, I want to know you." Do you want to know him, or you just want him to answer your wish list? If we want to know him, if we truly want to know him, he will supply our needs. He will take care of us, and he will reveal himself to us. This first century church was united in prayer, and they saw God work in a powerful way. Their hearts were committed to God, and they knew God could do mighty things. Remember, they had just seen the risen Christ, and they had a real expectation of what God could do, even though they didn't know exactly what God was going to do. Folks, I want to say to you, even though we don't know exactly what God wants to do through us, we do know that he wants to make disciples. And we need to pray with expectation that he will show us how he wants us to do that in our context. We need to know the best way to reach our community and to reach beyond for him. And that will only happen if we become united in prayer and seek his face. A house divided will fall. We must put aside things that don't really impact eternity and agree that eternity is in the balance for so many around us and so many around the world. And God wants us to put aside our differences and our will so that we might accomplish his will. I have to confess, I'm not a huge basketball fan these days. When I was younger, I enjoyed it a whole lot more, but I don't watch it as much now, and I especially don't watch very much professional basketball. But what the Atlanta Hawks are doing right now has gotten my attention. I have paid a little more attention to what's going on. If you're not aware of this, and you probably don't care. But they've won 15 straight games, which is a franchise record. And it's been pretty amazing to see what frankly had been subpar to mediocre as a franchise, all of a sudden actually playing great basketball. And right now, they are the NBA is divided into two conferences, the East and the West, and they're the best team in the East right now and the second best in the entire NBA. And what Coach Mike Budenholzer has done at Atlanta has brought in a system that's taken guys that, frankly, aren't really hugely known names. Now, they're quickly becoming known names, but when you look at the team, there are no superstars by name on that team. But what he has brought by way of philosophy after having coached with Popovich, Greg Popovich, at San Antonio for years, is the reality that you have to be unselfish and you have to play together as a team on both ends of the floor, whether on defense or on offense. And he's brought this to them, and they've bought into this, and they've worked really hard at it. And it's not as if this is some flash in the pan. These guys are beating the best teams in the East and the West. As a matter of fact, just the other night, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 10 points. An impressive win against a very tough team. Working together and setting aside their personal agendas, they definitely are the surprise of the NBA this year. I'm convinced that God can do far more than we can even imagine if we will work together to bring Him glory. If we'll work together to bring Him glory, God will do far more than we can imagine. I don't say that just based on my opinion. I say that based upon what Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. What's the power that works within us? God, the Holy Spirit. God working in us. God can do His amazing work through us. My question to us as a church is this: are we going to dare to ask God to do His mighty work here? Are we going to dare to ask God to do His mighty work here? I want to say to you, if we're not willing to pray bold prayers before God, if we're not willing to ask God to do His mighty work here, what we'll get is what we can do. And I've got to be just dead level honest with you. What we can do will not impact eternity. We need what God can do here. We need what God wants to do through us here. We're involved with M28, a church plant down in Atlanta and Midtown. In part, we're involved with that to push us beyond our context, beyond our community, and help us to see the bigger picture of what God is up to, even in our state. I believe God wants us to learn some things from them that will help us grow and reach out right here in our community. We're also, as I mentioned earlier in the announcements, participating in Crossover Columbus this year. And I got to be honest with you folks, there are not very many names signed up on that list. I hope and pray that you're planning on signing up and being a part of that, because God wants us to be a part of something outside of ourselves. You know, we talk about tithing, and we always assume that that is our money, and yes, God does want us to tithe, give 10% of our income, but God also wants us to tithe our time and our talents. And we need to let God use us wherever He sees fit. To know God's power and to see the Holy Spirit work through us, we must be a people of prayer, and we must be a people of big prayers, not timid prayers. The Word of God tells us that we can come boldly before Him. And as we just read, He can do more than we can even dream about doing. Let's ask Him to help us dare to be bold and dare to pray big prayers and dare to do things that only He could get the glory for. I want to be clear about that. When I'm asking you to pray bold prayers before God, I'm not asking you to pray those prayers so that Pleasant Grove will get the glory. I'm asking you to pray those prayers so that we'll do things that only God can get the glory for. I don't want anybody to point at Pleasant Grove and go, oh, that's, you know, wow, they're wonderful. I want them to say, they serve an awesome God. I pray that you'll join me in boldly pursuing God and praying bold prayers for His glory, prayers that stretch us and depend completely upon Him to see them come about. We can be a part of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we must start with letting Him change us and shape us from within our lives so that He might use us for His glory. So we see to reach beyond, we need what we need is power. Who we need is the Holy Spirit, and how we get it is through prayer. I know if we start asking God to do powerful things here, we're going to see the enemy work against it. Rest assured, when God begins to do a work, the enemy wants to stand in the way. Don't give in to the enemy. And don't back up from what you know God is leading you to do. Be obedient to follow God. Let's join hands with God to see what He can do through us at Pleasant Grove to impact the world. If you're here and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to say to you the first way to really experience something in your life that will change you for eternity is to agree with God that you're a sinner. Ask His forgiveness and place your faith in Him. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. Please don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without placing your faith in Him if you haven't done it yet. Trust Him right now. He will forgive you. Christian, I want to encourage you to let God fill you with His power. Ask God to fill you with His power. Ask Him to remove anything in your life that's keeping you from Him and from accomplishing what it is that He wants you to do, what it is that He wants us to do as the body of Christ. Whatever your needs are today, be willing to give those to God and trust Him to minister to you in the midst of that. He will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, God. We thank You that You want to fill us with Your power, that You want to do mighty things through us, God. I pray that we would desire that above all else, Lord. I pray that we would want to see Your hand at work in this community, in this state, in this nation, and around the world. God, I pray that we would pray such bold prayers that literally the ripple effects of what we do because of following Your leadership and walking with You, that those ripple effects would impact the corners of the globe. But God, help us right now to be willing to be honest before You. Lord, convict us of those things in our life that we're clinging to that are hindering us, that sin that's keeping us from being filled with Your power and Your presence. And then, Lord, help us to not be apathetic and to hope that someone else will volunteer. But, Lord, as long as You give us life and breath and ability, help us to be willing to do everything we can so that everyone we might ever meet might have the opportunity to place their faith in You. Lord, during this time of invitation, we ask You to move freely in our hearts. Lord, for those who are here that don't know You, I pray that right now they'd ask Your forgiveness and trust in You. Whatever You want to do in this place today, we ask You to have Your way right now. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.